Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. 3 months after the ouster of Muammar Gaddafi from power in Libya, there are growing concerns about the torture of prisoners there and questions about who is responsible for the mistreatment. Amnesty International says several people have died after being tortured in detention centers. And this week, the French medical charity Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, suspended its operations in the city of Misrata after treating more than 100 patients with what the group's general director, Christopher Stokes, called torture-related wounds.
From August, September, and especially from September onwards, we were seeing more and more people presenting themselves with clear signs of torture. And we've informed the authorities of this from the beginning and protested against this. And basically, we've had some unacceptable incidents, especially since early January, where we were somehow asked to provide medical care for people who had been interrogated and tortured and were then that same evening interrogated again and tortured, even though they needed attention in a hospital. Some of them could hardly walk, basically.
Joining us on his cell phone from Misrata is BBC correspondent Gabriel Gatehouse. Gabriel, the United Nations says there are more than 8,500 detainees in Libya. Who are they and who has control of them?
Well, I've just come out of the detention center that Médecins Sans Frontières ceased working in just the other day. And there are about 1,000 detainees in that one. Most of them say they have no idea why they're there. A few of them said they fought on the side of Colonel Gaddafi, but lots of them said they thought they were just victims of either racism. They'd been there because they were black Africans, who many of the rebels described or thought of as mercenaries fighting for Colonel Gaddafi, or they simply came from towns that were thought to have fought on the regime's side. So they're being held there, and we heard some really horrific tales of abuse. They're not alleging that the abuse occurred in that detention center. They rather say that some of them have been taken from that detention center to the army headquarters, some of them said, subjected to horrific beatings, some of them electric shocks, and then brought back, as you heard the MSF guy there saying, brought back for medical care.
Who is carrying out the alleged torture?
Well, it appears to be a mixture. In some cases, it looks like it's independent militia groups who abduct people and inflict the abuse. But some other prisoners were saying that the torture was occurring inside the building of the army headquarters. Now, I should say, I've just been to speak to the head of the military command here in Misrata. He flatly denied that there was any torture going on under his auspices. He said any wounds that I might have seen must have been related to the conflict, either from NATO airstrikes or from the fighting. That's something that MSF casts severe doubt on. They say the injuries are consistent with torture, not with war wounds. So there's a flat denial, basically, that there's any involvement on an official level here. But given the mounting evidence, I think those denials are looking quite feeble.
Gabriel, and we understand this alleged torture may be happening not just in Misrata. Earlier this week, you were in the city of Al-Shabiya, just south of Tripoli, and talked with some men who claimed to be tortured by a militia group. Tell me about that.
Yes, that's right. Well, this was after clashes erupted between that town of Al-Shabiya and the neighboring town of Gharian. It seemed to have been sparked by a very small disagreement between a group of young men, but soon escalated into fighting. Now, we understand that the militia from Gharian took over 20 men prisoner and tortured all of them. Certainly that was the allegation. I spoke to one of the men who had been tortured. He spoke of sustained beatings and being until he passed out. One of the other men who was captured by the same militia appears to have died of his injuries. I went to see his body in the morgue in Tripoli. It was very, very badly bruised indeed. And when I spoke to the nurse who was present at the autopsy, he said he believed he'd been subjected to sustained electric shocks.
So, Gabriel, the nurse told you the man had been subjected to sustained electric shock. What does the central government in Libya say, the National Transitional Council, about these charges? You know, they say they have a commitment to human rights, but as far back as October, human rights groups were warning that allegations of torture were staining the image of Libya.
Yes. Well, I mean, yesterday we spoke to the Justice Ministry, and they said that while they were worried about these reports coming out, both from Amnesty and from MSF and also the UN Security Council, they admitted they didn't really know what was going on. I mean, the problem for the central government in Libya at the moment is that this is still quite a fractured country. A town like Misrata, which is a 2-hour drive east of Tripoli, pretty much runs their own city. So there's a limit to what, at the moment, the authorities in Tripoli can do to stamp their authority on these kinds of situations. On top of that, there are all kinds of independent militias who are still armed, who are running about refusing to give up their weapons.
Well, in talking about these armed militias, is there any connection between these armed militias and the fighting that took place in Bani Walid this week and the claims of torture? Are there real fears that a civil war may break out again in Libya?
It's quite a complicated picture. If you take a city like Bani Walid, NTC forces, or at least some of them, said that what they were dealing with there was pro-Gaddafi counter-revolutionaries. Now, I went down to Bani Walid to check this out. I couldn't see the green flag of the Gaddafi regime flying over the rooftops, as some rebel fighters had claimed. However, it did seem clear that there was quite a large degree of support for Colonel Gaddafi's regime. In other places, we've seen two rival militias, either from neighboring towns or even sometimes from within one town, start fighting each other over sometimes very, very small issues. But because of the proliferation of weapons, people are quick to use violence and also very quick to accuse each other of loyalties to the old regime, loyalties to Colonel Gaddafi, even if that doesn't really seem to bear any relation to reality.
The BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse speaking with us from Misrata, Libya. Gabriel, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Monday on Here and Now, a new do-it-yourself recipe for methamphetamine is landing users in hospital burn units and putting a strain on healthcare resources. That's Monday. News is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, and by the Harvard Art Museums, from Chinese jades to Jasper Johns, Byzantium to Bernini. Learn more at harvardartmuseums.org. And by the Institute of Contemporary Art Boston, with Isaac Julian's 10,000 Waves, a 9-screen video installation featuring Maggie Chung, ICABoston.org.